Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Every day I get in the queue to get on the bus that takes me to you.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. John Seeger is with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's the president and the CEO of Population Connection, formerly Zero Population Growth. And he has some things to talk to us about a group of people he calls the invisible people who inhabit the earth. John, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to have you here. John, my audience knows about a little bit about the invisible people that you talk about and that you want to talk about today because they're plugged into the media. They know what's going on. They listen to the show, and we've covered the tsunami issue, that the tsunami horror that happened a couple of 3 months ago in South Asia. At least two of my Brain Trust members went to that area and helped out and came back and gave us a report about what's going on. So we got some of that firsthand, as well as what we get in the paper and in the other media that's out there. So we were introduced to some of the what you call the 1 billion invisible people who inhabit the earth. And we found out, one of the things we found out was that there are islands out there that were just completely washed over by the tsunami that the inhabitants, we don't even know who they are. There's not much record of who they were, and therefore we'll never really know how many people were killed.
That's absolutely true, and the problem even extends farther than that. The more reading one does, the more just general research that we can all do on the Internet these days, you find that it's awfully hard to get hard and fast purchase on the numbers, exactly how many people are affected and how they're affected. But however you parse it out, the numbers are staggering. For the children around the world, there's a tsunami every week.
Yeah, that's a good metaphor. But give us an example of why you say that.
Well, because we have somewhere between 5 and 6 million children who die from malnutrition before they reach the age of 5. Most of these children do not starve to death. We've all seen the horrible stories, and we've reacted to them by helping of famine, but mostly what happens is these children are weakened from malnutrition and they succumb to the kind of diseases that we've learned in this country through good research and good fortune and hard work to prevent. But other people around the world, small children, aren't as fortunate really as we are.
Well, John, obviously the organization that you represent, Population Connection, obviously you guys have an idea about how we can stop some of this starvation but I want to, before we do that, I want to come back to something that's part of the former name of your organization, and that's Zero Population Growth. You guys apparently believe that we need to have zero population growth.
Well, don't leave that last word off.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. That was an accident. Sorry, but zero population growth.
Occasionally, we've heard people say we're the zero population people.
No, I sure hope not. That was an accident.
Right? No. We've seen until 200 years ago, until the time of Thomas Jefferson, world population didn't really grow. It grew very, very slowly, and since then we've gone from 1 billion people to over 6 billion, and it looks like we're heading for about 9 billion by the middle of this coming century. And that actually happened because of something good, which is great improvements in public health,
right,
and in medicine.
Worldwide.
Worldwide. But the challenge has been really keeping up with that in the following way. There are a lot of folks around the world who've really been left behind in this age of prosperity, most notably these 1 billion people around the world who live on less than a dollar a day. And for those folks, they don't really have a chance to control any aspect of their lives, from whether they're going to have anything to eat today right out to when and how many children to have.
What would your organization do about that? Because, my answer to this, John, is trade. My answer to this is to build markets. To it seems to me that that where we have these problems are people who live in areas that are not really in democratic countries. They're not in democratic areas. They're places where there are warlords and there are dictators and a lot of these people are, and it seems to me that the way to save these people is through markets. What do you think? Building markets over there and letting them build small businesses and become part of the global trade.
Well, before I did this kind of work some years ago, I was a carpenter, and one of the first things you learn is you better get the foundation right, or the house isn't gonna work out too well. And there's certain things you need as a foundation for that kind of trade and that prosperity. When people are preoccupied with not having enough to eat every day, when 4 people out of 10 in the world don't even have access to a simple latrine, those kinds of things get in the way of any kind of trade and prosperity.
Right.
And what we have to do is we have to make sure that we don't become pessimists. This is not a perfect world, and it never will be, and we're not ever going to have perfect government or perfect people. That's not what's going to happen. What's going to happen is we're going to figure out how to identify a problem and fix it. That's something that small business people have to deal with on a personal level every single day.
Absolutely.
Is what's the problem, how can we fix it, and how can we make things better, not how can we make things perfect.
Isn't that what the UN was supposed to do? Isn't that part of the UN Charter, and therefore based on your concern for what's going on? I mean, I didn't used to be a big opponent of the UN, but for the last 4 or 5 years, I've decided that they're not doing their job, and something needs to be done there. What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, the UN is a mighty big organization, just like the United States government is a mighty big organization.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a lot of different pieces to it. It has pieces that provide, that do a pretty good job in some strife-ridden areas of keeping the peace. It has, a great big building in New York that comes in for some criticism. It's got folks who are working out on the ground around the world in these small communities. And I think the question really needs to be focused on what the problem is and what we can do to fix it and how can we measure progress. The United States provides aid through the UN. We also provide aid bilaterally, that is, directly mm-hmm. to countries. Either way, we need to make sure that the money is going to help solve the problem.
Stand by, John. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, we're going to be right back with our new friend, John Seeger. He's the president and CEO of Population Connection, formerly Zero Population Growth. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our new friend, John Seeger, the President and CEO of Population Growth. John, give us your website, please.
It is populationconnection.org.
All right. And what will we find when we get there?
What you'll find is a lot of information, not a lot of little dancing monkeys or anything. I think we've all passed that point with the web.
I hope so.
What people are looking for on the web, I think we all know now, is content, up-to-date information, news that you can use one way or another in your life.
All right. John, if Population Connection had its way, if you guys were in charge of the world, what would you do to help these 1 billion invisible people?
The first thing you do is you figure out what you know works and do it. For example, a lot of kids die of malaria in Africa. For $5, we can provide a properly treated mosquito net that will prevent that disease by preventing the mosquitoes. The wonderful thing about mosquito nets, for example, is it's awfully hard to set up a black market in mosquito nets. Money's one thing, but mosquito nets are another thing altogether. We need to not be overwhelmed by the problem. We need to look at things that we know can work now and get some successes under our belt. Success breeds success. and failure breeds failure. There are things we know work. Everybody wants clean water. Everybody wants enough to eat. Everybody wants to be able to get up in the morning without worrying about the fate that their children may befall during that day. Those are things we know how to do, and that's a good place to start.
John, one of the things it seems to me would make a lot of sense would be to really catalog all the successes that we've had and use that as a foundation. You mentioned a foundation a minute ago. Use that as a foundation to give people hope and to give people encouragement that of what we can do. And I'll give you an example. I'm a Rotarian. This is the 100th anniversary, the centennial anniversary of Rotary. It began in 1905 by a group of folks that, and including Paul Harris, the founder. And I know that Rotary has almost single-handedly eradicated polio in the Western Hemisphere, and is working very hard to eradicate polio in the tsunami-ridden area, the tsunami-affected area that we've been talking about, for example. And there have been so many other things that have been done by groups of people that have come together that weren't even part of a government.
Absolutely. If you go to the International Rotary website, you'll see that Rotary has a very strong position on population issue. Mm-hmm. And specifically about the tremendous hardship that is caused when people don't even have control over the decision of when, whether, and how many children to have.
Right.
When you're living on less than a dollar a day, you don't really have control over anything.
What would Population Connection do about that?
Well,
about the population growth?
Well, what we would do about it is make sure that the decisions are where they belong, and that's in the hands of individual people. Women and couples need to be able to decide what form of family planning they want to use and be able to have simple access to it along with basic health care. We don't have to look past our own communities to see what we want for the world. I think we want for the world what we want for our neighbors down the street. We want our neighbors to have clean water to drink. We want our neighbors to be able to make the basic decisions about their own lives. And you can't do that when you have absolutely no access to any kind of resources.
Isn't family planning, though, something, to get back to your example, when people are just in subsistence, obviously a lot of these people are not educated, right? I mean, a lot of the 1 billion people you're talking about who are living this way, they're not educated people. Is that a safe assumption?
That's absolutely true.
Okay, so we need to work on education, but isn't it hard to talk to these people about family planning when they are basically illiterate?
You know, we've all known people who were highly educated and people who have no education at all. I think that if you look somebody in the eye and talk to them in a plain, straightforward fashion, they'll understand what you say.
But birth control is not an uncomplicated issue, and it's a long-term lifestyle issue. It's not just something you have one meeting about, right? So how do you solve that?
Well, there are two ways to go about it, and one is kind of the old school, which is you simply provide, if you will, the supplies and hope for the best. The other approach is a much more comprehensive approach, where you look at education and you look at health care and you look at these broader issues.
Mm-hmm.
I come down squarely in the middle on this,
right,
in the sense that at this point, it's a little like having a house on fire. Do you call fire company number one or do you call fire company number two? I'd sound
right.
Both alarms.
Let me ask you this.
Somebody shows up.
John, I got about 30 seconds left. Who should be doing this?
Well, it's everybody's job, you know, and there's that old saying.
But there needs to be an organization in charge of it. Who should be doing it?
I'm a little suspicious of people who are in charge of everything.
Yeah.
I think that if we all put our hands together, if private organizations, which do a great deal, our own government, other governments around mm-hmm. the world, get together and work together, we can begin to accomplish something.
Well said, John. John Seeger, I appreciate you being here. Will you come back another day and give us another report in the future?
Absolutely.
John Seeger, ladies and gentlemen, the president and the CEO of Population Connection. John, give us your website one more time.
It's populationconnection.org.
Thanks, John. See you next time. Quick break, right back with Rich Galen after these messages. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.